Amen. Very good. Thank you again for the singing this morning. I appreciate that. And thank you to our choir, as always, and then Mrs. Hayes, and then Mrs. Hayes and Mrs. Metz on the offertory. Man, great to put her to work right away. So, anyway, thank you for that this morning. And, man, appreciate our staff here, and they do a great job. I was gone this week. Appreciate Mr. Myers and the work he does around here. Man, just got a lot done. I think they get more done while I'm gone, you know, but I got a lot done this week. And then Brother Jason as well, appreciate him. And then filling in, take care of everything on really Sunday night and Wednesday night, getting that all done. And so appreciate our staff. Thank you for that this week. And we'll get to Brother Jason if you would come read Scripture.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to Judges. Judges chapter 2. Hope Mr. Myers' back isn't hurting from carrying me through the week, making everything look good. Nothing surprising there. Man, I so loved your song, Miss Janet. Man, this week I came across Acts 10:38, where Peter says he went about doing good. And we forget that. Sometimes we read the Gospels and all that, but then just when Peter, who's with him all the time, say, you know, he went about doing good. And man, that just such an awesome song. Thank you for that this morning. Judges chapter 2, we'll start with verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the stories contained within and the verbiage that you use, Lord, in the King James Version, especially, Lord God, Lord, speak to us. And we, Lord, can make such good application, Lord, and relate to the times we live in, Lord God, where everything that is evil seems right and everything is right seems evil. And Lord, we thank you for your word where we can draw truth from and draw things in that, Lord, that we can take from all that you have given us. Lord, I do pray, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, and we talk so much, Lord, about Christ and what he's done, and we should, but Lord God, sometimes we don't mention the hell that their, Lord, judgment will come if they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord God, the hellfires and the Lord, that fear, Lord, that may have brought some of us here to salvation, nothing wrong with that. And Lord God, I pray that they'd understand today if they're not saved, they're going to hell. And Lord God, I just pray that your hand would be upon, Lord. I believe, Lord, and it's spoken many times in this pulpit, there's a problem with fear in our country. Nobody fears anybody. And Lord God, as we read this passage in Judges, Lord, you will allow things for a certain time. But God, then judgment comes. And Lord God, I pray that your hand would be upon us. May we be out there, Lord, desiring to please you. Lord, be with this message. I'm excited, Lord God, for this message this morning. Be with us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And, man, as you mentioned, thank you for all of the care of things while we were gone. And great to be back in the service this morning. Judges chapter 2, we read those verses there. And we talked about this a little bit last week. The people of Israel are much like, it's not an exact comparison, but much like the New Testament church we have in our day. But the people of Israel were God's people, and they were people that God had chosen, and God had given them the opportunity to do what was right. And of course, as we went through the whole book of Joshua, we saw not perfection, but we saw victorious Christian living and making decisions to follow God. And then we get in here to the book of Judges, and just wanted to go over these few verses here this morning because the people of Israel here are in a situation where they need help. In verse 16, it talks about God giving them the help they needed. And so he sent deliverers, he sent helpers, and we'll talk about that later on in the message. But it seems like as we study here in the book, and we won't go through the whole book of Judges at all, but it's just a preliminary here in what happened to these same people who had come through the book of Joshua, their parents had, this next generation. And what happened, and we've talked about that a little bit already. I don't want to be repetitive here, but I do want to go through a couple things I think would be good for us to look at. And you think about this, when God would deliver them, and this is true throughout the Word of God. Or if you go back earlier, of course, into the days of Moses, and God sent Moses as a deliverer for the people of Israel. And you continue to go further on into the books that follow the book of Judges, into Samuel, and you see Samuel, you see David, you see other kings, you see other prophets, Elijah, Elisha, all those that would come on the scene. And it would be a help to the nation of Israel to try to bring them back to God. In this instance in particular, here in the book of Judges, how come these people don't stay right with God? You start to read and think, man, why did they not? And it gives us, I think, a little bit of an insight into that. And so I was going to talk about a few things this morning that they did do or didn't do that put them in the position where they were away from God, where God did have to send judgment. We'll start here in verse 17. We see this, the very first thing. Bible says, verse 17, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges. It tells the first thing here, they would not hearken. That word hearken, of course, a Bible word, we tend to think of it as meaning to listen, which it does. But I think it's more than just to listen. I had a definition I wrote down here that I found, to listen carefully, to give due attention, to give strict heed to. And so it's more than just, boy, I heard it. No, this is something you really pay attention to. And the Bible says one of the problems here with the nation of Israel, they would not listen. They would not hearken. They would not pay attention to the warnings that were given to them, the teaching that was given to them. And you think about it in our day and age, and the problem with our churches today is a lot of the problem is the leadership, and the leadership is not given the truth. They're not preaching the truth, not teaching the truth. And as those that are supposed to be in charge, as they go away from God, more than the people follow that. But there's also some instances in Christians' lives where it's not, and in people's lives even maybe aren't saved, it's not just they're not here. They just won't listen to the teaching and the preaching that's been given to them. And here's what we have here in the book of Judges. This group of people, these Israelites, they would not hearken. Bible says they would not hearken in verse 16. These judges here, that ever the Lord raised up judges. These were judges that the Lord had raised up. You know, let me tell you this. We need to listen to those that God has put in place to teach us. You know that? And you know, children, you need to listen to your parents. God has put them in a place to teach you. And to teach you truth. And to give you those things. And so they didn't listen to the ones God had put in place. You think about the authority God has put in your life and the ones that God has placed there. And man, it should be that we're listening to, we're hearkening to, not just, boy, just taking it. No, we're paying attention to what God has given us through them. They wouldn't listen to those that God had put in place. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hearken unto those judges that God had raised up. Also, this is interesting to me too, in verse number 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. They wouldn't listen to the judges that God raised up. They also wouldn't listen to these judges that had delivered them. You think about that. Those that have delivered you, those that have helped you. Now again, we understand deliverance comes from God, and God used these judges to do that. But I think in my life, I was talking this week, we were at teen camp to one of the men that was there, and talking about those that had influenced my life. And those when I had gone to teen camp. In fact, the main speaker that was there this week, he was talking about it, and he mentioned as a junior high kid, going to the Bill Rice Ranch and hearing Paul Levine preach, and hearing the other preacher there, and making a decision for God. And as I heard that, you know what comes to my mind immediately is I remember after my seventh grade year, I was at the Bill Rice Ranch and heard the preaching of the Word of God and heard Paul Levine preach and heard Bill Rice III preach. And I remember, by myself, I remember walking down an aisle and saying, God, I'll surrender whatever it is you want me to do as a seventh grade going into eighth grade boy. And that man brought back memories of those that had influenced me. And we were talking about that. And those that were an example to me and did that for me, that helped me. And I'm amazed sometimes. We've had preachers that have influenced my family and influenced me and those men of God. Some of them have not stayed true to the Word of God. And it's sad when you see that those that I've gone to conferences, those that have influenced my family and others. But I tell you this, that doesn't mean that I don't appreciate what they did and the time that they did it. Now, I don't listen to what they continue to teach and those that have gone, but man, there's people that influenced my family and my parents greatly for God. And I don't sit around criticizing them. I can't always follow those things when they go away from God's Word. But boy, I have an appreciation for those who influence. I thought about this. I thought, I don't know how people do this. I remember listening to a man say stuff. And of course, when he's, I heard it from a very reliable source. But just where this man who had been in our church and who my dad had led one of his very, very close family members to the Lord. I mean, that he had taken time and given him the gospel, and he got saved. And then this person who Dad had done that for was saying things and basically saying he wasn't going to come back to this church as long as Dad was here, and it wasn't because of any doctrine. In fact, he was upset that Dad had not changed his doctrine. That's what he was upset about. He wasn't upset about the fact that anything changed. He was upset about the fact that it hadn't changed, and he wanted it to change. I thought, man, wouldn't there be some sort of allegiance to those who have helped you and your family? Man, who have visited the hospital when you were there, when your family was there, and shared the gospel with those that care about you. Hey, it should be that we would listen, and that these people of Israel would listen to the ones who had delivered them out of the difficulties they were in, who God had sent, and yet they would not hearken. Bible says, and to them, we contrast that with what had gone on before. We have here this next generation in Judges chapter 2. And notice the difference with the verse we read there in verse number 17. They would not hearken to their judges. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, which we covered months and months ago, about this generation that came before. I want you to notice the difference. Joshua chapter 1, and look at verse number 17. Joshua chapter 1, verse 17. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. You know, the generation before said, we're going to hearken, we're going to listen, we're going to pay attention to, Joshua, what you give us. Just as we did to Moses, we'll listen to you as well. And in fact, not only will we listen, they said, look at the repercussions, verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. They said, all that, there's going to be some repercussions. There's going to be something that happens to those who will not follow. And yet you had the generation that came after them that would not hearken. They said, we will hearken, we will do. And you see the difference between the book of Joshua and the book of Judges, because you had a group of people that hearkened. I appreciate this so much. I mentioned our young people. Those of you who were there this week, our young people hearkened this week. You know what? They were, and we were talking, we had a couple different men that preached. And both those men, very, very good preachers. Neither one of them was running around the platform, dynamic, trying to. But you know what? Our young people, they sat up, they paid attention, they hearkened. They listened to the message. And they listened to what was preached. And sometimes, God's given me the privilege of working with young people. I do that for 20 years. And many times, I would think, boy, it's a whole lot easier working with young people than with adults. All right? Young people actually listen. All right? They listen. And y'all do a great job. We're talking about the other crowd that's not here this morning. All right? We're talking about them. All right? Y'all do great. But, man, they were in camp there. And, man, just, man, they hearkened. And you could tell they were paying attention. It wasn't just at the end of the service, come down to the altar and we'll pray for a few general things. No, God was dealing with them specifically. Hey, here's what I want to get right.
Here's what I want to do. By the way, it should be the same thing for us. It should be as you come to the house of God. God deals with our hearts specifically. Hey, here's what I need to do. Here's the decision I need to make. And these young people did that this week, and appreciate them hearkening unto the Word of God. So the first problem with this group of people, they would not listen. They wouldn't hearken to those that had gone on and those that were trying to teach them what was right. Then secondly, look at verse number 17. Yet they would not hearken to their judges. They went a whoring after other gods. They began to follow other gods and bow themselves unto them. Notice what it says here. The Bible says, they turned quickly out of the way. They wouldn't listen. And so because they wouldn't listen, the Bible says they turned. They turned away from those things that their fathers had done. They turned away from those things that they knew. And the Bible says they turned quickly out of the way. You know, if you're like me and you've read the Bible some, automatically, boy, I've heard that term before, right? I've heard they turn quickly. And you have. Go back to Exodus chapter 32. Look at Exodus chapter 32. And most of you know this Bible story. This is when Moses was on the mountain. Joshua was about halfway up the mountain. And so Moses and Joshua were the only ones that were gone. The rest of Israel was there. And the people, because the leadership, we talk about this in Sunday school, because the leadership didn't set the standard, because Aaron did not set what he should have, the people began to control what was going on. And with the help of Aaron, they created a golden calf, and they began to worship that golden calf. And Moses had been gone 40 days, and that 40 days, the people of Israel began to worship this calf and began to dance and to drink and all that stuff that went with it. And notice what it says. Look at verse number 7 of Exodus chapter 32. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, have worshipped, have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Man, those people had turned aside quickly. And again, that just shows, man, how you think about where we live today in our country. I just give you one example. This is probably the easiest one, but you could go through all the different things that have changed in our country. But I was looking at the earliest poll they have in the United States of those in favor of same-sex marriage and those opposed to it. The earliest poll they have is 1988. That's because before then, nobody even thought about it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when I was growing up in the 80s, that wasn't even an issue. So the very first poll they have is 1988. This is in my lifetime. In that first poll, they had three different ones in 1988. In each poll, over 80%, 82, 83, 84, and somewhere in that range, percent in America said they were against same-sex marriage. You know the latest poll here? 2022? 71% support same-sex marriage in the United States. How quickly has that changed? And by the way, I was reading. They said a third of those have changed their position because somebody in their family is homosexual. I've seen it happen. I've seen grandparents who know better, who've been raised, who say they're saved, and they got a grandkid that's homosexual, and all of a sudden, boy, well, you know, that's just their choice. No, no, no. It's still an abomination against God is what it is. It doesn't matter who does it or who doesn't do it. It's still sin against God. It's still wrong. And whether the opinion of those around us changes, but it just shows you in our world how quickly, that's in my lifetime. Now think about those of y'all who were born, who are the generation ahead of me, born back in the 40s or 50s, or even in the 60s, 40s and 50s, we grew up and said, man, look at how the world has changed. How quickly it's turned. You know, I was looking at this recently. If you go back and look at college and pro sports in the 50s, even into the 60s, but especially in the 50s, and you look at a crowd shot. Now, I could stay on women's dress for a while, and you see how the women and all their skirts are long and stuff. But I tell you, it's amazing. Every man is dressed like I am. Every man. You scan the crowd in the 50s, I'm talking about a professional football game or a college football game, and they are dressed with a coat and tie. A few liberal ones don't have the coat on, just the tie. All right? And a lot of them have a hat on, all right? And you think that is 60, 70 years ago. What's changed? Hey, go to a professional sports game day and see if you find anybody. No. You know what's happened in our nation? It's turned aside quickly. And the Bible says, it's these people here in the book of Judges that went against God, they turned aside quickly. They turned aside, the Bible says, look at verse number 17. They turned quickly out of the way, first of all, which their fathers walked. Hey, that way which their fathers walked in. And listen, this morning, we don't do things. Listen, I don't do things because those before me did them. Tradition is good most of the time. But that should not be the only reason. But I tell you what, it also doesn't mean we just throw out those things we've done before just because things are changing. Hey, a lot of traditions, not every tradition that's out there is a good tradition, but a lot of them are. A lot of them are. And there's no need to change them. And it's amazing to me, those that want to change, not just to change, just to be, most of the time, just to, so they can agree with the world and look like the world. But here's what's important. It says they turned aside quickly out of the way which their fathers walked. Then look at the rest of the verse. In what? In obeying the commandments of the Lord. Hey, they turned aside out of the way that their fathers walked in obeying the way of obedience to God. Hold your place there. Go back to Joshua 1 one more time. Joshua chapter 1. We read verses 17 and 18. I want to go to the verse before that. Verse number 16. What's the difference between the generation in Joshua and the generation in Judges? Look at verse 16 of Joshua chapter 1. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Hey, they said, we will obey what God said to do this morning. Be honest with you, it's not important what I say. What's important is what the Word of God says. Are you obeying His Word? And let me tell you something. I talked about the 1950s and 60s. This has not changed. This has not changed. And we can go back as far as we want to. We can go to the 80s. We can go to the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s. We can go. But let me tell you something. The Word of God has not changed. So I'm going to continue to obey the Word of God if I'm going to be able to follow God the way I'm supposed to. And they turn aside quickly out of the way of following God's Word. Number one, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hearken. And then because they wouldn't listen, they began to turn away from what had gone on before. And then go to verse number 19. Came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them, and they ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. The Bible says they would not hearken. Because they wouldn't listen, they turned quickly out of the way. Because they turned quickly out of the way, would that lead to? They cease not from their own doings. The Bible says, isn't it, they returned and corrupted themselves more. You think about, we understand the way the world goes, but it should be different in the house of God, in the church of God. But you think about revivals that have happened in this country, and you see how, man, that's been great, and you've seen changes have been made, but then it seems like the next generation, the generation after that, return and corrupt themselves more. And more. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. and verse 22 at the end of the, and it seems to describe what we're going through today. And the Bible gives a very graphic illustration here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. It says, but it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, those who knew the way of God and then went away from it. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Hey, that pig that was cleaned up, man, they just, it's like they can't wait to get back into the dirt, right? Hey, it's amazing to me sometimes. people, man, and they get an opportunity to get, and they want so bad to get back into the filth of the world.
Man, I tell you, one of the things I enjoy, I love coming to church.
One of the things I enjoy about church is being around God's people and just getting away from the filth of the world for a little bit. And again, you try to keep that stuff out of your home and out of your life as best you can. It's just as we go around in the world we live in, you're going to be around some things that are not always right.
And so, man, to get into the house of God, and have that time away, but it says, man, just like this generation here in the book of Judges, they couldn't wait to get back to those things. The Bible says they followed and bowed down to other gods. And the Bible says they ceased not from their stubborn way. I thought about getting y'all to raise your hand. I will not get you to raise your hand, okay? Because we'll let you keep this to yourself.
But just think about this. How many, don't raise your hand, all right? How many of y'all, you ever had somebody else call you stubborn? All right? Don't raise your hand. How many, don't raise your hand on this one. It's been the person sitting next to you, all right, that told you you were stubborn, all right? That's happened to me a few times. But stubborn is one of those things we sort of like, you know, it's not a great thing, but you know, it's not if somebody calls you, you know, we go through the Word of God and stubborn's not a good thing. The Bible says they're stubborn in their way. That means they won't change. They will not change.
It says they followed their own, they wouldn't cease from their own doings, from their stubborn way. Let me ask you this morning, what would make you change? What would make you change?
With different things that I'm dealing with right now, it's made me change some things. So when I was younger, I don't know how many of you like doctors or don't like doctors. I had one doctor I liked, all right, and that was Dr. Pepper. All right, Dr. Pepper and I were good friends. I could hang out with Dr. Pepper for a long time. You know, the last time I drank a Dr. Pepper, it's been at least, when I drank a full Dr. Pepper, it's probably been more than 5 years, but I know it's been 5 years. I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease 5 years ago. I cut it out. I don't drink Dr. Pepper anymore. You know, that came about, and I changed. It's funny, you think about your health issues will make you change some things, right? You get a health issue, some people don't, all right? And they keep having the same health issue, right? But it'll make you change some things. Some of you this morning, man, I changed this in my life because I had a health issue come up. Make you change. Hey,
things that'll happen in your life.
I tell you, we mentioned this morning, Brother Reno Likens there, and he was and had that stroke. You know what? His family's there with him, and they're praying. I'm sure this family already prayed for him, but I guarantee you they're praying more now. Hey, you have a kid that's sick, you have a family member that's sick, guess what? It'll get you down to the altar a little bit. It'll change what you do. It'll change. And so you think about this morning,
what would make you change what you're doing for God?
Hey, let me ask you this morning. What would make you start reading your Bible every day? What would get you to that point? Hey, what would make you spend time in prayer? We had some young people this week that made some decisions on prayer. They heard a great message on prayer. I tell you, I'll give it to you as a Sunday morning crowd. We
finished up here.
But I'll mention it too when we do the testimonies. But for you that are here Sunday morning, in case you don't get to hear that, we had Dr. Tom Williams preached on Wednesday morning on prayer. He is 86, almost 87 years old. He's been in the ministry for over 60 years. Those of y'all, ahead of me y'all, anybody seen, we showed the video here, and this is back in the 80s, probably early 90s, probably in the 80s at some point, of Dr. Tom Williams twice given, and he lost his first wife, then his second wife, had spinal meningitis and was bedridden for almost 30 years. How many of y'all have ever heard that, seen that testimony? All right, some of you have. Well, now he's still going on for the Lord. He's 86 years old, and he got up and preached on prayer, and these young people were here, right? It's raining. I mean, pouring down rain when it starts. And he says, we're going to pray that God will stop the rain. So he did. He prayed and that God would stop the rain. And this is great. So we heard the prayer, and those of y'all were there. And so I was telling my wife later, I said, you know, one of those things, what do? You just keep preaching until the rain stops, right? We prayed, and I'd looked at the forecast earlier that day, and you can always trust Google, all right? So you check that. So I checked the forecast, and it said it's going to rain till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock somewhere there, stopped for a couple hours, and then it rained again that night. So this was probably 10:30. As the service started at 10, so it was probably 10:30. He finished up somewhere 11:15, 11:30. When he finished up, probably 10 minutes before he finished, somewhere in there, rain stopped. It didn't rain again the rest of the day. Now, he was talking about the end of service. He said, if you noticed, we prayed that the rain would stop, and the rain stopped. He said, and you'll say, well, how do you know it's because you prayed that the rain stopped? You know what his answer was? How do we know it wasn't? Right? How do we know it wasn't? I don't know, but I do know this, that God listens to our prayers. And what would it take for you to start praying more? What would it take? What does God have to put in your life? What would make you change?
What would make you change the way that you live? What would make you stop doing the things that you're doing? The Bible says these people would not stop. They would not change. They continued. They ceased not. They wouldn't stop living the lifestyle they were living. They wouldn't stop sinning against God. They continued it. Then we'll close with this. So, man, this is, I want to show you this as we close. We'll take just a minute. They turned aside. The Bible says, first of all, they wouldn't listen. Then they turned aside quickly out of the way. Hey, you listen to those God has put in position. And you make sure you stay with those things that God has given us to do. They turned quickly away, and then they wouldn't cease from it. But you're there. I want you to look at verse 16. We're going to go through a bunch of verses, well, several verses very quickly. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them. I want you to go to verse 18. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies. Go to chapter 3. Look at verse number 9. It says, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them. Go to verse 15. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer. Then go to chapter 10. You go throughout the whole book of Judges. We won't go to all the references, but I want to show you chapter 10. Look at chapter 10 and verse number 10. Chapter 10, verse 10. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Baal. And we said, we've forsaken you and served false gods. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines? The Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. So God says, hey, you've been following these false gods. Instead of coming to me, why don't you go to them and see how much they deliver you? And look at verse number 15. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods. They changed from among them, and they served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. And guess what God did again? He delivered them again. Hey, let me tell you this morning. I don't care what you've done wrong. I don't care what you've stayed with and haven't done, or what you turned aside to do, whatever, it doesn't matter. God will deliver you. We have a God that's long-suffering. A God this morning, you say, well, I've done things that are so bad, there's no way. No, God will still deliver you. You know what? God sent His Son to die for all your sins. All of them. You're here this morning, God can deliver you from anything that you're going through, but God will deliver you. Go to John chapter 3 and we'll close there. John chapter 3. God continued to deliver the people of Israel. John 3 verse 16. Many of you could quote this, right? John 3 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know you can have everlasting life through Jesus Christ today. You say, well, I'm too bad to get saved. No, God will save anyone. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. hey, God is long-suffering. And God's long-suffering with the people of Israel. With us, he's long-suffering. If you're not saved this morning, and you have an opportunity to get saved, if you are saved this morning, you can stop, you can change, you can live differently. I want to show you this to close. Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. Brother Jason alluded to this in prayer. There is a heaven, there also is a hell. Go to verse 36 of John 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, that is true. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
God is long-suffering, God's also righteous. And if you don't decide for Christ while you're here on earth, there's going to be a day you stand before God, Revelation chapter 20. And all those whose names are not written in the book of life will spend an eternity
in hell.
Hey, that's just as true as the truth about heaven in the Word of God. So understand, you do have a long-suffering God. But you put it off, put it off, put it off. There's going to come a day you can no longer be delivered. Hey, God will deliver you. He'll do it today.
But there's going to come a day where there's no deliverance for those who have not trusted Christ as their Savior. Make sure, man, you look at the life of the people of Judges and say, I'm not going to follow it. I'm going to listen. I'm not going to turn aside. I'm not going to continue in the way that I've been going. I'm going to do what's right. And then know this morning, you go to God, God will deliver you. There'll come a time when it's too late. Father, thank you for
the truth you gave us from the book of Judges here. And Lord, that sin, there is punishment for sin. There is chastisement for sin.
And these people had to undergo, they had to go through that chastisement because of their sin. Lord, it'd be great this morning if we get some things right with you so we wouldn't have to go through the chastisement. We wouldn't have to go through the cycle, the downward cycle we see here from the nation of Israel. So I pray you touch our hearts this morning. As we see a world around us that changes quickly, it doesn't mean we have to change. Lord, as we look in our hearts and our lives, what would get us to the point where we change the way we live? What would get us in church more? What would get us in the Word of God more? What would get us praying more, witnessing more? What would get us getting rid of some of those things in our life that are keeping us around that right relationship with you? What would do that, Lord? Lord, I pray that we wouldn't have to wait until you put something there. Lord, we make a decision now. And Lord, understand, no matter what we've done, you will deliver us. Pray there's someone here who's not saved, never trusted you. Help them to realize, Lord, they're not too bad or too rotten or too awful or too wicked. No, Lord, you died for all of us. And no matter what we've done, you can deliver us from our sin. Lord, I pray there's someone here this morning never trusted you. Help them to realize the deliverance that comes from you and to trust you today. Help us also to realize, Lord, there'll be a day when it's too late. We don't know when that time is. We don't know when your time for us to come from this life to the next one. But Lord, help there's somebody here not saved. Help them make that decision before it is too late. In Jesus' name. If everybody's standing with head bowed and eyes closed, as you're here this morning,
nobody looking around, everybody standing and
let me ask you this morning, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Let me tell you this, the only way you're going to heaven is because Jesus Christ delivered you from your sin. And you say, that's my testimony, man. It's not me, but Christ delivered me from all my sin. And I've trusted him as my Savior. If you can say it this morning, you just slip your hand up like I'm doing and say, I know I'm saved. You can put your hand right back down. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, listen, I don't know for sure. I don't know if I can get saved, man. I've done these things and those things, and I'm just not sure. Let me tell you something this morning. God will deliver you. But you can't keep putting it off. Because I don't know. I don't know when our time comes. But I know it does. Here this morning, you say, I'm just not sure if I die the day I go to heaven. Just pray for me. If you do this, just slip your hand up. I won't call on you or embarrass you at all. But say, slip your hand up and say, Lord, just pray for me. Pray for me this morning. Hey, God will deliver us.
He will.
Man, are you willing to change? As your music plays this morning, the Lord spoke to you, come.